It said that one's life can change in the blink of an eye. For Jessica Fechter, that became a tragic reality after she suffered a sudden brain aneurysm when she was just 28. Her new memoir, Stir My Broken Brain and the Meals That Brought Me Home, tells her miraculous recovery, thanks to many things like friends, family, and loved ones, but most especially cooking. It's published by Avery, and I'm very pleased to have brought Jessica Fechter to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Do you have a clear memory of the moment that it happened?
I do. I was running on a treadmill. I was at an academic conference in Stowe, Vermont, and a friend of mine and I, we were supposed to go for a run that morning, actually out on the country roads, and very fortunately, there was a thunderstorm, and so we went to the gym instead, or we would have been in the middle of nowhere.
You're convinced that no matter what, you would have had this brain aneurysm?
Well, the aneurysm existed. I know that. And the issue really, actually, I was perfectly safe and sound and well until that aneurysm ruptured. I was on the treadmill, and I didn't actually experience any pain at first. I just felt this little, almost like a little click or an itch, like a trickle of water or sweat, but on the inside. And I knew at once that I was going down.
You fell?
I fell, yes.
And were you aware of everything that happened afterward on the way to the hospital and all?
I was. You know, I write in Stir that trauma is supposed to serve as some kind of a merciful eraser that wipes away every memory of the hardest and most painful moments. But for me, I really that wasn't the case. I really do remember everything, waking up, the things that people were saying over me.
Did it occur to you at that time that your entire life might have changed in an instant?
At that moment, no, not at all.
You just thought, I'm going to be okay, I'll get past this, and everything will be all right.
Certainly, and actually for a while I felt that way. When I woke up on the floor of the conference center gym, I had a terrible headache, but I had suffered migraines in the past, and I thought, okay, maybe this is some kind of a flash migraine, if that is even a thing. Even after we learned that there was blood in my brain, it's a very difficult thing to get one's head around, especially at a young age, that something might truly be wrong.
You were in grad school at the time.
I was.
A PhD candidate in Jewish literature at Harvard. That's a whole different world from what you've written about here.
Yes.
But and academic writing skills are not necessarily good preparation for writing a book like this. But this book is written beautifully. Had you always wanted to write?
Thank you. I have always loved writing, and I think one of the reasons why I went into, I followed an academic path is because I wanted to be a part of the world of reading and writing, the world where ideas matter. But I had not considered writing memoir.
Was it apparent fairly soon that this was going to take a while for you to recover?
Well, the way that my particular illness unfolded, there were several stages along the way.
There was surgeries.
That's right. I had a surgery to clip the ruptured brain aneurysm. I lost the vision in my left eye during that surgery because of the optic nerve was compressed. But aside from that, it looked like I was going to have a fairly straightforward recovery that would take about 6 to 8 months. But then there was an infection. And in fact, a piece of my skull became so diseased that the surgeons had to take it out and throw it away. And I went around that way missing a piece of my skull for a year, wearing a hockey helmet to protect my brain. And recovering.
Well, obviously they put something there now because you don't look like there's any problem.
That's right. Well, a year later they did a cranioplasty and they put a prosthetic piece to fill the hole.
You focus in your book on how food and cooking played an important role in your recovery. Isn't eating hospital food one of the more difficult aspects of staying in a hospital?
Well, at the very beginning, I wasn't eating much at all. And then, yes, it's true. I did eat a lot of hospital food. And in fact, one of the early moments when food played a very important role for me was when my father and my husband came back to visit me in the intensive care unit, raving about a pan-roasted salmon that they had eaten in a restaurant in Burlington, Vermont. And the next night, they endeavored to bring me my own plate from this restaurant, and they, as they said, had to play the brain surgery card in order to get the chef to allow them to bring it to me in the restaurant. In the hospital.
And did you appreciate it at the time? Because another problem is that you lost your sense of smell at one point, and taste and smell are totally connected.
Yes. Well, I lost my sense of smell later on. When I first tasted the salmon, I remember the salt hitting my tongue and feeling like myself again for just that brief moment. Like if I'm sitting here eating salmon and tasting this wonderful salty flavor, then perhaps things are not really all that bad.
You say that even before you were out of the hospital, you started making grocery lists. Why did food become so important to you while you were recovering?
Well, one of the things that I write about the grocery lists in Stir is the fact that making a list is of this type really is another way of saying I believe in the future, because you're saying, this is not what I'm going to eat right now. This is what I'm going to be hungry for later on. And I think that in that moment, there was this sense that I had of, okay, I'm nauseous now, I'm dizzy, food is not all that appetizing to me. But if I just set the scene and the table for the person who I know is in there somewhere, she, meaning myself, will come back.
My guest is Jessica Fechter, F-E-C-H-T-O-R. Her book, Stir, My Broken Brain and the Meals That Brought Me Home. One reviewer has suggested that this book will appeal to readers of M.F.K. Fisher, Molly Weisenberg, and Tamar Adler, as well as Oliver Sacks, Jill Bolt Taylor, and Susanna Cahalan. Had you read any of them?
I read all of them, yes.
In preparation for this, or were you just people who you had read?
Well, you spoke, you asked a moment ago about academic writing, and I think it's true that this kind of writing is very different from academic writing, but certainly my career as an academic and in the qualities of my own mind and curiosity that led me into academia meant that writing a book had to start for me with reading. And I didn't sit down and read them in direct preparation for writing the book, but throughout the entire time that I was writing Stir, I was reading and learning from the wonderful talents of the people you mentioned and others.
You say in your first paragraph that this isn't a cookbook, and yet you've included 27 recipes.
That's right. You know, some people ask me, so did you start with the recipes? How did you choose the recipes? And
I was going to ask you all those questions.
Yes, yes. Well, I think that for me, I started with the story. And really, I just wanted to tell the best story I could because I knew what happened, but that was just the plot. The story was what I was going to find within those plot points. And in order to follow the story where it went, I had to follow it into my kitchen. There is not a recipe tacked on to every chapter because I didn't want to just throw in a recipe because I felt that the form demanded it. Anytime there is a recipe, it is because I felt that it had something to say towards the narrative.
And were these all things that you cooked during your recovery?
Let's see. For the most part, yes. There are a couple of recipes where the role they play really is to talk about food and identity and are from my childhood or from my early adulthood. But certainly I must have cooked them as well during my recovery.
And when you were recovering, did you try to cook things that were easy to do, or were you already challenging yourself?
So at the very beginning, the kitchen was largely an arena for me to test myself physically, in addition to the place where I could give myself a project, which I desperately needed in those days after when I was past the point where I needed help toileting myself and bathing myself, but I couldn't quite yet be completely independent. The kitchen was where I went in order to occupy my mind and my body. And at the beginning, when you lose your sense of when you lose your vision in one eye, the thing that is most affected is your depth perception.
Mm-hmm. You lose 3D.
You lose 3D, at least until your brain remaps. My depth perception has not fully recovered, but it largely has. At the beginning, I would crack an egg and I would miss the bowl completely and crack it onto the counter. And I didn't have much strength to stand for long periods of time. So I actually remember, aside from things like toast and then being very careful not to burn my fingers with the depth perception as I took the toast out of the toaster oven, pouring a cup of tea. One of the first things that I made was buttermilk biscuits. And there's a recipe, the recipe that I made in the book. And I remember rubbing the butter into flour with my fingers and feeling that burning sensation in my wrists. And it was my first experience since I had been sick and recovering with a kind of pain that actually felt good and that brought me back to myself. And at first I thought, oh, my wrist, there's this pain. And then I realized, ah, but I've always felt that burn in my wrists when I rub butter into flour. And it was a wonderful relief and joy.
It's clear from the book that Eli, your husband, played a major role in your recovery. But this had to be rough for a marriage. You were very young. You were thinking of having children.
Absolutely. First of all, his name is Ellie. That's fine. I just say that just to say it rhymes with jelly, so people can remember.
But it is spelled E-L-I.
It is spelled E-L-I, correctly. And absolutely, it was very hard. And I'll share an example. First of all, when I came home with the infection and I had these strong antibiotics, I was missing a huge chunk of my forehead and my temple. And he was in charge of setting the alarm, waking up in the middle of the night to plug in those to plug me into the IV antibiotics and wait until the bag was empty. He cared for me in the physical sense. My mother came and stayed with us for a little bit at the beginning, and she did something very moving to me, which was that she would often do laundry for us, fold it, put it away, set the table, prepare lunch for us, put it all out, and then leave so that we could have some semblance of a normal marriage. And I remember her saying, it's very important that he is not just your caretaker through this, but also your husband.
And when were you able to do your part in preparing those meals? I assume he helped as well.
Certainly. So slowly, bit by bit, I did what I could. In December, so of 2008, so this was a couple of months before, after I had returned from the hospital. Is that right? Yes, about 2 to 3 months. It became time for our annual Hanukkah party, which we typically would have between 50 and 80 people in our small, one-bedroom apartment. And this was something that we were known for in our community and among our dearest friends. And there was this big question hanging in the air, would they have this Hanukkah party? And we decided to go for it. And it was one of the first times the first time that I didn't do everything on my own, all of the baking. And I made these maps of these food maps where I would kind of draw pictures of the foods and which platters they went on. And that way it wasn't this constant question of what goes where, and my friends came and I baked as much as I could and they took care of the frosting and the rest.
How long into the recovery did you start your food blog, Sweet Amandine?
I started Sweet Amandine the first week of January 2009, so that was a few months in. I had tried to get back to my studies. I thought the fastest way to get back to myself was to pick up exactly where I had left off. And I had been studying for my doctoral exams, and I tried to just jump back in.
Did you feel any difference in the way your mind was working?
Absolutely.
Because you had damage to your brain, although it would not be apparent.
Well, the thing is that was the question. I I was very, very fortunate that I did not have any cognitive or neurological deficits. But I was told that my concentration might suffer for 6 to 8 months. And the tricky thing when it's your own brain is that you don't know which it is. And so I remember opening up my books and starting to study, and for the first time I would make it down to the end of a paragraph and I would have to start over, or I would fall asleep. And that had never happened to me when I would study. And I was asking myself, well, am I brain damaged? What is the problem here? And my close friend Megan came to visit, and I was crying to her about this and telling her how afraid I was, and also telling her that even harder than this was the fact that I felt like I had lost my everyday, that I felt alienated from my home and from the everyday routines, like making myself my own toast and my cup of tea the way that I liked it. And that was when she said, you know, don't worry about your studies for now. Why don't you start a food blog? And that's what I did as a way to really tell myself and to tell the people around me, I'm ready to talk about something else now.
When do you return to pursuing your PhD in Jewish literature?
So I went on leave to write this book, to write Stir, and I will pick up my dissertation again in the fall.
And will you continue writing about food?
I will. I hope so.
What are you cooking these days? Have your food tastes changed?
Let's see. You know, someone asked me yesterday what my favorite food is, and at first I thought it's impossible, and then I realized you know what? I do know what it is, and it's a good piece of toast, well toasted, with jam or preferably orange marmalade and some cheese.
And do you still look forward to that little feeling of burn?
Yes, butter? I certainly do.
Jessica Fechter, F-E-C-H-T-O-R, her book Stir, My Broken Brain and the Meals That Brought Me Home. It's published by Avery. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.